Amen. Thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We've looked at why we give overall, and then we've looked at why we give to missions this morning. And tonight we're going to look at God's plan for giving. So if we know why and we know we're supposed to give, what is God's plan in giving? And this comes right out of the Word of God, so it should encourage us. If you're already doing this, you can say, man, I'm so glad that I'm participating in God's plan. If you aren't, it's a good opportunity to understand what God's plan is and why He set it the way He did. And then if you, especially to missions, if you're giving but you're not giving by faith, you're not reaching a little farther, not trusting God a little bit more, but you're giving, let's say, out of your ability to give rather than out of your inability to give. And I'll explain that in just a moment. But then you and I need to be challenged that God, He has a plan. And giving should stretch us. It should cause us to turn to Him is what it really should do. And it will help us. So we're going to start in chapter number 8, and then we're going to jump over to chapter number 9, but we'll just read these verses here. Chapter number 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you." So we're going to look at this thought, where it starts and where we should go when God has put it in our heart to do to give a specific amount for missions or to regularly tithe. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word that explains very well the structure of giving. First of all, giving us reasons to give, and then as you did earlier in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, showing that it shows others the grace that you're working in us, and then shows to the world, and then shows our heart for you. And I pray that tonight as we continue in this study and kind of prepare our hearts for the missions conference, that you just give me clarity of thought and understanding and unction and how to communicate this, and then give us a willingness to receive it. And God, help us not to be burdened by this. I know that giving was never designed by you to be a burden, but to be a blessing. So I pray that we would see that tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the first part of God's plan in giving, and this is part of His plan. This, we looked at why we should give and how we should give, but this is part of His plan of giving. And the first part of the plan is found here in these verses in chapter number 8. And the word equality is used a couple of times. And He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." And so the first thing you and I need to understand is God is not asking us to do something that He has not already enabled us to do. And what that means is you're not required to give the same amount that someone else might be able to give because they actually have greater income. God only desires that you give what He has enabled you to give. So, well, what does that mean? And we're going to think about this a little bit more than just brushing over the word. So, oh, then I have to be enabled to give. So I don't feel enabled. No, you're missing something. When God enables you to give, He has given you exactly whatever the amount is, either for missions or in tithing, which is part of that it belongs to God. He's not asking you to tithe as a millionaire if you're not a millionaire. He's not asking you to tithe as a young person equal to a person who has a job and has a good job and has been established in their job and makes a bunch more money than you do. He's not asking us to be equal in that way. And it would be good for the government to understand that equality is not like you have more and so you should give more. That's not equality. That's not what it says. So you've been enabled by God to do this in giving. This is God's economy. He says, you've been enabled to do this. You should do this just because it's part of your willingness. He says right there, you have to be first willing in the what? Yeah. And isn't that where the battle is in giving? People say, I can't afford to give. And I've heard people in this church say, one person said that giving to God has been better than a 401k. If you think about that, think about the heart and the mind that goes with that. That is different than the way many of us. So many people, they hear about giving in church and they say all they ever ask for is money. That's not the case here. Now, we're getting ready to go into missions conference and we're asking you to do more than we did last year. Why? So we can be enabled by God to give more to missions, to missionaries, and see the gospel spread all around the world. That's what our desire is, to meet their needs, to help them on their way so that they reach souls for Christ. But God doesn't make everyone equal givers in this room, but he does. So it's not numerical that he's asking. He's asking for all of us to be equal in our mind, in the way that we think about giving, to be glad to give rather than for it to be a burden. And this is where I could take you to Malachi chapter number 3 and show you that what giving became to the children of Israel was a burden. And it was a burden because they were so caught up in the rest of their livelihood and the rest of their life that it became a burden for them to give. And I know some people say, well, I'm not going to give to any religion. I tell you, God didn't give you money to give to a religion. He gave you money to give back to him. So you should never think of it as giving to a religion or giving to a movement or giving to a church or giving to a person, or you don't like the way that we think about it. All is in our mind. So a person who decides they're not going to give, according to this verse, makes up their mind they're not going to give, although God has enabled them. That's what it says. For if there be first a willing mind, there must be a willing mind. And you can be saved. I know this for a fact in my life. You can be saved. You can be wanting to know the Bible. You can be even a good soul winner. But you have to have a mind to give before you will give. And God has enabled all of us to give something. The problem is, some would say, and I heard this said at the home missions conference this last week. There were some kids in the group that were, I'm talking about young teenagers, and then even some younger kids that were given they're promising to support a missionary $3 a week or a month. You know what they didn't do? They didn't laugh at them. You know why? Because that child wanted to be involved. And they were enabled. I mean, the preacher would say, you have the ability to do that? And their parents would say, yes, they do. They want to give $3 a month to support this missionary. You can dismiss that, but that's a willing mind. That's something that God has enabled them to do. And there were teenagers that were that had saved up money for the whole year. And where they're giving $100 to this missionary or $20 to this missionary. I talked to several of the young people there, and they were just excited to be involved. You know what that tells me? Giving is in your mind. You have to determine in your mind. You want to be a godly person? You've got to determine in your mind that's what you're supposed to be. The reason we have people flailing all around in Christianity is because no one is willing in their mind to do what it takes to be the person that God has enabled us to be in salvation. The battle is in our mind. So he explains further that when it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not, he then explains to them, you're not being asked to do something that God has not enabled you to do. He's enabled you to do something. Will you make up your mind to do it? That's God's plan. God gives you the money. God gives you the ability. All he's asking you to do is decide you're going to do it. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to really think about this. All you need to do is just say, I'm willing. I'm of a willing mind. Brother Ron, it doesn't work like that. No, you're right, it doesn't. Because if you're not, like we already discussed last Sunday night, like they were in this chapter, willing to give of themselves first, then it's hard to give of your wallet. Because this seems to control us. No, Brother Ron, it doesn't control me. I give, well, let me ask you this. Do you give above what you're able when it comes to missions? Well, I mean, I can't afford to do that. I looked at the budget and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what he's talking about. What are you willing to do in your mind with what God has given you? And look, if you can't give $1,000 a month, don't give $1,000 a month. Don't write down, I want to give $1,000 a month. If you can't give that. If you can, and God's blessed you, then think about that. Is $1,000 a month all I should give? Why? How much has God enabled me to do what I'm supposed to do? It's God's plan. Isn't it great? Again, I'm just going to say, it's just amazing to me that God says, all you have to have is a willing mind. I have all the money. You just have to be willing. And Brother Ron, that's too simple. Well, that's what it says. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Remember the children of Israel when they went out and gathered up manna? And if they didn't gather quite enough, they didn't run out. And if they gathered too much, it became wormy. Remember, God supplied their need even when they went out and picked it up on Friday morning, because you couldn't go out Saturday morning and pick it up, and you would be in big trouble if you tried. Whatever they picked up on Friday morning, while the dew was on the ground, when they picked it up, if they didn't pick up enough for Saturday, miraculously, there was manna in the pot. So it right there, he's saying, don't worry about running out. God has enabled you, be willing in your mind to give. And then if we go over to chapter number 9, the Bible says this in verse number 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So it's the principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow just a little bit, you're going to reap just a little bit. So God's plan is that you reap bountifully. But here's what he says. You have to sow bountifully to reap bountifully. Now, I've enabled you, and I want you to reap bountifully. But you have to have a willing mind to sow bountifully. You've got to make a decision, a choice. You've got to say, I'm going to give, not of a heart not of a heart that says, well, I give a lot, or not of a heart that says, I just can't afford to give, or man, I got to watch everything. I mean, I'm getting close to retirement. I've got to do this, this, and this. And again, I'm not asking you to be ridiculous. This is using your mind. So the truth is, when you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And of course, we don't have to think about that. We live in an agricultural area, and we understand if you don't sow, you don't reap. You drive by an empty field, it's because they didn't sow anything in it. Pretty simple. If you drive by and it's got wheat in it, it's because they sowed wheat. If you drive by and it's got a bunch of beans in it, it's because they sowed beans, and so forth and so on. And you reap what you sow. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you decide that I'm not sowing to be bountiful, I'm sowing because God has enabled me to give. My mind is made up then, I'm going to give what God has enabled me to give. Whether it be your life, maybe you're called to be a missionary and God wants your life, or a pastor, or perhaps you're called to be in the music ministry, whatever. Or perhaps you're called to work a job and be in the church and give according to what God has blessed you with. Whatever the case may be, once you decide, when you start sowing is when you start reaping. God's plan is that you reap, but you have to start sowing. And when people don't start sowing, it seems kind of strange that they can't believe they're not reaping. I don't know why God doesn't bless me and they bless them. Well, I'm not going to say that they sow more than you do, and that's not necessarily how they're going to receive it monetarily. But have you ever thought about sowing and how much health you have, the ability, maybe your family, what God has done for you in certain situations? Have you just realized that God enabled you to do X and you did X and God allowed you to reap bountifully, way more than you could possibly give, is what he's saying. Verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God's plan is that we give with gladness in our heart, like, I get to give. We get to give to the missionaries. We get to acknowledge them. We get to minister to them. I get to go on visitation. I get to witness. I get to give to the church. I get to see children saved at Vacation Bible School. I get to see my friends come to services and be saved. I get my family to sit with my family in church. Whatever it is, I get, and so I'm thrilled about it rather than giving grudgingly. Now again, we go back to Malachi chapter number 3. That's the way they were doing all of their offerings. Everything was with a grudge. Oh, this is so dumb. I can't believe that we have to do this. It's so laborious. And they held it in contempt. And they didn't want to do it because it was so laborious and it didn't seem like they were getting any blessings out of it. That's not why you should give. You should give because you get to. That's why it's imperative as the offering plate passes, whether you can put anything in or not, that you're thankful. Why? Because being thankful shows God that we're thankful for whatever it is that he's given us, and we can be a cheerful giver when we do have opportunity to give. And the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. He loves someone that gives out of joy, out of peace, out of a good spirit, a person that's willing because they get to do it. It's this week coming to church. For some of you, you're going to go to work. It's going to be right up against it. You're going to get time. It's going to be time to come here. You're going to go, and it's going to be hard. It is. That's the way it is for every special meeting we have. I'm aware of that. You work a workaday job, then you have to come here. Or you could say this, I get to come here. And I don't have to be at work right now. It makes a difference. And remember this, the one you don't want to come to, the one that you struggle to get to, is the one you should be at probably. Because you'll start hearing this, man, I heard good things about the services last night. I wish I could have made it. If you have to work, I get it. But if you can be here, be willing in your heart to be here. It's a heart. It's a matter of the heart. God has enabled us to give. He wants us to reap. He wants us to reap bountifully. He also wants us to give cheerfully. And then verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. See, God also, he doesn't want us just to give monetarily, but he wants us to give of ourselves so that we can do good works. And he wants us to be bountiful and abounding in those good works. He wants us to show forth his righteousness. This is all part of giving. It's all tied to giving. So you could say, if I'm not giving what God has enabled me to give, I'm robbing myself of reaping bountifully, I'm robbing myself of joy, and I'm robbing myself of the ability to do good works and work the righteousness of God. No. I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never given, and I'm fine. You're not exactly where God wants you to be because he's enabled you to give. And if you're not giving, then your mind is already disobedient to him. I mean, that's just it. I stand up here and I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking to myself while I'm preaching, why didn't I get this a long time ago? Way before I started. Did my parents not teach me to give? No, they gave me money every week to give to an offering. I didn't know what was going on, but I gave it because if I had it when I got home, I was going to get it. So I gave it because I don't want to get it. Now I give it because I want to give it. There's a difference. It's a process. God wants us to do the works of righteousness. He wants us to do good. But we've got to be willing to be obedient in everything he's given us the ability to be obedient in. And so many times we're so wrapped up in something that we are struggling with that we're not obedient in, and we can't even be obedient in something he's enabled us to do in giving. It's sad, because God's plan is that we would show forth good works in his righteousness. He's provided bread for us. He's provided the seed for us, and all he says is, just do it. Have a willing mind. But being enriched in everything, verse 11, to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for this, for his unspeakable gift. What unspeakable gift? The enablement that he gives us to be able to give so that others can benefit through the gospel. So that we can give and the gospel can go out and people can be saved. That's a great gift that you and I can be involved in that by just giving. There's no doubt, and I'm not preaching this because we struggle with it. I'm preaching to remind us why. This is God's plan. If I were to say, No. That has nothing to do with it. God has enabled us to give. Why wouldn't we just do what he asks us to do? And watch him do what he wants to do for us. Did you see how many times it said there that thanksgivings to God? Don't you want your life to reflect God's enablement of your life through this grace that he's bestowed upon you and the supply of need that he has given you to do your part, whatever it is? It's not that you have to give a set amount. It's that you have to give according to the way that God has enabled you. And when you do that, you begin to reap bountifully. you begin to give cheerfully, and you begin to do the work bountifully. You begin to abound in it so that it glorifies God. Now, so there's a structure here. This is where it kind of gets a little more pointed. Right now it's been cheerful. So if you don't have a willing mind, if you first don't have a willing mind, because that's what it says, first. You know, when you're doing things, you do them in order. First, you got to have a willing mind. So if you first have a willing mind, then you will give because you understand that God has enabled you to give, and you will reap bountifully, you will give cheerfully, and you will work out abundantly the grace that God has given you in your life. But if you don't make up your mind and you don't do it, then you don't reap. Why? Well, it says you have to sow to reap. It even breaks it down, says if you sow a lot, you reap a lot. If you sow little, you reap little. You also aren't very cheerful. It is. Church becomes laborious. Witnessing becomes laborious. Your life becomes laborious. I can't believe God is just... That's your life. That's not what God wants for your life. This is not plant your faith seed. This is do what God tells you to do. I'm not going to send you any blessed hankies. That's not how it works. That has nothing to do. I don't know where they get any of that business. Well, they get it from Paul, except for Paul was an apostle and a man of God besides. But these people weren't sending him money. They were just sending him hankies, and he was praying over them, and they were being healed, what? To show forth the power of God. And ultimately, that's exactly why God gives to us, to give, to show forth the power of God. And I have heard this, and I will say it. Temple Baptist Church is a giving church. This size of church rarely gives over $300,000 to missions. And yet consistently for the last several years, we have given out of the missions fund over $300,000 to missionaries, to other things, to other things that they're doing, special needs and so forth. In fact, we've purchased a vehicle for someone in one Sunday. No. God enabled, not everybody, but everybody said, you know what? God wants me to be part of this. Now, I'm not bragging on us to get us to rest on our laurels. I'm saying this is what we're supposed to do. And so if we want to reap bountifully, we still have to sow bountifully. And we still have to give cheerfully. And we still have to work out our salvation abundantly and work it out to a point where people see it, and they see as we're giving that people are being saved, lives are being changed in the gospel, the work of God is going forth in bountifulness. And when we do that, it brings glory to God, and that is why you give. That's why you go. That's why you read your Bible. That's why you pray. That's why you see a need and meet a need. Because we're trying to work out what God is working in us, not so that we can be saved, but so that we can show the unsaved what being saved looks like. That's our privilege. Because it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Have you ever considered that God doesn't need us, yet he uses us? And that he's chosen to do it. He could have used rocks, but he's chosen to use us to bring him glory right now on this planet. If you're born again in here, if you're saved, when we go to heaven and return with Christ, when we come back, we will bring glory to him, because it'll be amazing that Gentiles are working with Jews. It's going to be a miracle. It is. All of us coming together in Christ. Can you imagine? There's going to be some Methodists there that we're all going to be in Christ. I know you can't believe that. I believe there's probably going to be some Catholic people there. Why? Well, because the Bible doesn't say you have to go to a certain church to be saved, although some would like us to believe that. It doesn't say that. It just says that we have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in all of that, we're going to bring glory to God in that time. But can you imagine this? He's enabled us to do that right now in this present world, living a godly life right now in this present world. He's given us the privilege. What a gift that he would allow us to be involved in his plan to see souls saved. And ultimately, that's what the church does locally and around the world. We're to see people saved. So, how is the battle in your mind about giving? Are you following God's plan? Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.